We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a wonderful show for you today. Unfortunately, not talking about wonderful things per se. We're going to be speaking with Mr. Daniel Oschheim from the Israel Council serving the Midwest here in the United States. We'll be talking about whatever's happening over there. We have wonderful music scattered throughout the show. We're back to listening to music. We'll be talking a little bit in the second half of the hour with we're talking about the portion of the week, which is Nasoi chapter 6 and following in the book of Numbers. And nice Hasidic story at the end. Yeah, you're going to like this one. It's really a little bit of an eyebrow raiser. We're not going to be doing any news today because of the nature of the program is all going to be based on whatever's happening is based on what I've been receiving and what we've been receiving in news reports. And any other news has just been either related to it or just trivial. So we're going to skip the news today. What we're going to do is, do we have our guest yet? Is he on yet? Not yet. Okay, so we're going to play some music while we're waiting for Daniel Oschheim to connect with him. This is, for your listening pleasure, this is a good one. It's Benny Friedman. It's A Rebbe's Life. What Rebbe means to teach.
I see him at the cheder, I see him all the time, and even when I leave him, can't get him off my mind. I, ki em chayenu, I, cause it's a Rebbe's life. The times that he's successful, the times I watch him fail, the learning and the struggle, the nachas and the pain. I, ki em chayenu, I, cause it's a Rebbe's life. Try rewards and prizes and the wisest of advisors just to find out what he needs. For Yankele Ben Gittel, let me say one more capital. Gonna pray that he'll succeed. Cause it's a Rebbe's life, we understand. We've got the future of the world in our hand. For Tinoike Shel Bisraban are the leaders tomorrow. Heart and soul for generations to be. So many years later, I've left it all behind. But Yankele in Cheder will sometimes cross my mind. I, ki em chayenu, I, cause it's a Rebbe's life. Then I attend the dinner, I meet the honoree. I say, you look familiar, and Yankel says it's me. I, ki em chayenu, I, cause it's a Rebbe's life. My Yankel's dedicated to assisting kids in Cheder for whom learning's really tough. He says, Rebbe, I can guide him, cause I see the good inside him, and it's all because you love. Cause it's a Rebbe's life, we understand. Of the world in our hands. For Tinoike Shel Bisraban are the leaders tomorrow. We'll see. Yes, it's a Rebbe's life. We know every child has got a spark of something special inside. And the Torah we teach is a flame that will reach every heart and soul for generations to be. We'll be right back. life, we understand. We've got the future of the world in our hands. 14 oikos shall be Rabban, are the leaders tomorrow we'll see.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hey, Shul Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have Daniel Asheim from the Israel Consul serving the Midwest. He's been on before. He's going to be on a couple more times, hopefully for better things than what we'll be talking about. We're talking about Operation Protecting the Walls. How are you today, Daniel?
Thank you very much, Rabbi Finman, for having me. Yes, it's unfortunate circumstances. The previous conversation we had were on much better things. I hope we'll talk next time on better things as well, but currently Israel is under attack. And so on the personal level, could be better.
Okay. Now, for at least the last 10 years, I have introduced the similar type of interview with your predecessors with... We want to welcome you back for our biannual talk about the war in Gaza. This is 2021. It was in 2017 and 2014 and 2012 and 2008. And it seems that there's is like, I think it was Napoleon who said, maybe somebody else you can correct me, who said, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. So Hamas gets excited. They attack. Israel comes in. They clean up a little bit. Hamas says, oh, we're sorry. We're not going to do this anymore. Israel says, okay, fine. And then Hamas restocks and does it again a couple of years. This seems to be a vicious cycle, Daniel. Could you talk about that, please, a little bit?
Look, what you're saying is unfortunately true, that we have experienced this terrorist attack for many years already. And this is an intentional escalation of the situation made by Hamas, which provocated out of nowhere. They started shooting missiles at Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, all over Israel. Thousands of rockets have been shot. Now, as we're talking about the cycles and circles of violence that we are seeing introduced by Hamas, this is something we have to emphasize. This circle is different from the past ones. This circle started with attacking Jerusalem, and Tel Aviv, which were things that were done in the previous rounds in the last few days. So this time they started with the escalation on the first day, and Israel also retaliated in a stronger manner in the beginning already. Now, what is this? What is going to be the end game here? It's a very complicated situation, and it's really not something we can do easily. I would tell you on the phone or on the radio what the solution is. It's a complicated situation. It's a complicated, delicate situation, and what I can reassure you and hopefully all Israeli citizens is that this time Hamas will think twice before starting another operation. This is the end game here. The end game is to make the situation clear that Hamas terrorists cannot shoot rockets at Israeli civilians for day after day.
What this is leading me down a different path than I had planned to go, but what makes you so sure?
I'm not sure. I think prophecy is for the fools, and I don't want to be a prophet here also. I want to say that this is the goal. The goal is to bring deterrence. So what happened we saw also after the second Lebanon war with Hezbollah. That deterred. I hope it's going to stay. We never know what the future will bring us, but this is an aim. So it needs to be a combination between military force showing Hamas what they did was wrong, and negotiations after to find a resolution in some way or the other. But it needs to come with the understanding of Hamas that what they did was wrong and that they will never, ever beat Israel through military warfare.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what a Hydra is? I don't know how to say Hydra in Hebrew. I'm sorry. You're familiar with her? H-Y-D-R-A, Hydra. You don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me explain what it is. It's a microscopic creature, very tiny, and you can see it under a microscope very clearly. It's very cute, actually.
Yeah, it's in tropical regions, I know.
It has cross-eyed, and when you cut off its head, it grows another head. So the Hydra's used as a muscle, as an example for what seems to be going on. We see it in the news that Israel is proudly proclaiming we killed the director of this of Hamas and the leader of that of Hamas and this head person of Hamas. And then 2 years from now, we'll be killing the head person of this from Hamas. They're just going to grow another head. So that's what I'm saying. When it seems very optimistic and somewhat fortuitous to think that just because whatever's happening now in this very politely named Operation Protect the Walls, and I don't remember what 2014 was called, and I don't know if anybody remembers what the names are called to these things, but it's what absolutely, talking in diplomatic terms and military terms, and this is the most serious. I have a nephew who lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh, and this is the first time that the red alert went off, like ever. So and next time it'll be Haifa, and the next time it'll be from Hamas. They'll be shooting rockets into Rosh HaNikra and Sfat, and maybe who knows in Metula, how far the rockets are going to go.
Look, eventually, even Hydra, as Sophocles said, the measure eventually caused his own accidental death. Eventually, after trying very hard. So I think that if we're looking Greek mythology, I hope this is not going to be a reality, because what Hamas is trying to do with each time there's a new leader that comes, and as you're saying, Israel is trying to prevent, and what Israel is doing by trying to come to each terrorist that it's attacking Israel on the highest levels, on the lower levels, what we are trying to achieve here is to bring them to an understanding that it's not going to come through military. Is it an easy game? No. Is it a short process? No. Is it something that can escalate? Yes. Is it something that needs to be solved in a strategic manner? Yes. What is the solution? It's a very complicated solution when you're dealing with terrorists who want to, they want to destruct you, and they do not accept your bare existence. We are in a different game here. We also saw many different armies who tried to fight with terrorist organizations which were smaller. It's a difficult game. But Israel is strong. Israel is on the right moral side here, and Israel would do everything possible to find a way to solve it, whether it's going to be now military only, whether it's going to be later on different solutions with more parties, that's going to be for the future, for the politicians to do and for the leadership. But as for now, this has to be stopped. And Israel is going to do on the military level whatever is needed to stop this violence.
Okay, our guest today is Daniel Aschheim from the Israel consulate is serving the Midwest. We're talking about what's going on in Israel, the current situation there. Let's talk about provocation. What is it that the Hamas is saying was the provocation that caused this all of a sudden? And then let's analyze what really happened, please.
So look, Hamas is trying to put it together with the incidents happening in Jerusalem. Now, this is a myth, because what happened in Jerusalem, Israel did whatever possible to lower the tensions in Jerusalem prior to this. So I was in Jerusalem when these things happened, the Jerusalem Day. I was sitting in my parents' balcony overlooking the beautiful old city. And instead of being the holy month of Ramadan, a peaceful demonstrations, there were Hamas tried to bring people to riot in one of the holiest places for Muslims. Then there were other tensions, there were tactical tensions, and Hamas did everything possible to provocate, to bring these tensions, these local tensions, into nationalistic terrorist activities all throughout the West Bank. They tried to bring people, doing terrorist activities in the West Bank. They suddenly, out of the blue, they decided to escalate the situation and shoot missiles at hundreds of thousands of Israeli civilians. It started in Jerusalem, later on went all over the country. So they always have an excuse why now. And it just, there's no end to that. So once it's Jerusalem, once it's a holiday, once it's marking something, once it's just provocation, there's all the time excuses, and I just think we cannot accept these excuses. The brutal reality is that what they are doing is trying to destroy the only Jewish state, the state of Israel. And by doing that, they are harming not only Israeli Jews, they also killed Muslims sitting in Lod in their car by a direct missile, and they're also killing Palestinian children that were killed by missiles which were aimed at Israel. So, and they also bring destruction to the Gaza Strip and to Palestinians. I mean, Rabbi Heschel, for me, what's tragic is to see civilian casualties, whether Palestinian, Jews, Muslim, Israelis, doesn't matter. And what Israel is doing is everything possible to prevent civilians on the other side from being hurt. And what the Palestinian Muslim Hamas extremist organization is doing is trying everything possible to target civilians in Israel. And this is the biggest difference between the two sides.
Okay, what effect? It seems like during the Trump administration, it was all quiet. And then now with the switch of power in the United States to the Biden administration, it seems like there is a change in focus as to the relationships between the United States and Israel. And then the second part of the question is Israeli elections every 3 months, and which seems to lead to think that there's nobody actually leading the country. So that's a two-part question. If you can handle that one, please, Daniel Anshan.
So I wouldn't say that it's connected at all. The situation between Israel and the United States is a very strong, firm alliance, regardless of the administration. We have a very good connection with the Trump administration. We have a fantastic relationship with the Biden administration. We saw it by the declarations of President Biden and Secretary of State Blinken, who showed firm support for Israel's right for self-defense. So we are very happy with that. And Prime Minister Netanyahu also thanked today the Biden administration. So we have a close connection. We see a lot of support from senators, congressmen, all over the country. So this is really heartwarming. So I think this will remain a strong alliance, regardless of any administration. And as for the political situation, you're right, it's a complex situation. There is a leadership. There are people in power. It's an interim government. If it's helpful for the situation in Israel, definitely not. We need a stable government and stable coalition, that's for sure. We are working on it. Hopefully it's going to happen soon, whichever way it goes. Nevertheless, this is not connected to the deterioration of the situation, as far as I see it.
Okay. I had on my show, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, a former IDF general, and all former IDF generals become consultants. And I had him on my show. And he maintained that, this was then 5-8 years ago, that Israel really only has the resources for defense and cleanup operations such as going on now for 3 weeks. And after that, the funds run out and the supplies run out. Israel cannot endure a sustained conflict. Is that still true, Daniel Anshan?
I'm not sure I would be a consultant if that's what I say, because I think definitely it's not true. We already saw in previous operations, in the Second Lebanon War and other operations, Israel has the power and capacity to fight as long as needed to bring back security to its citizens, regardless of funding. This is not an issue. We'll not save one shekel, $1 for defending our people, and Israel has enough supply, enough power, enough manpower, enough technologies to overcome. If it's one front, two fronts, three fronts, we can overcome that as well.
Okay, very simply understood. We've got the holiday of Shavuos coming up, and for people who are listening afterwards, the holiday of Shavuos, which passed already. And there's a big thing with people going out, especially in Jerusalem, that at dawn to go down to the Kotel and to engage in the holiday prayers. It's a very big thing. Thousands and thousands of people congregate there. Have there been any restrictions put on that doing that this year?
So currently there are no official restrictions. Besides, they still didn't decide about Jews coming up to Temple Mount. Besides that, there are no restrictions to go to the Western Wall, to the Kotel, to pray. And hopefully the situation will remain calm in Jerusalem as it is these days, as the freedom of worship remains. Also, yesterday there was Eid al-Adha, the Muslim holiday, finishing Ramadan, and as we have Shavuot coming up. So Israel does everything possible in its capacity to keep the freedom of religion and worship to all religions. So hopefully Shavuot will be a calm one. And people need to remain also to be protected, as there's always the risk of missiles coming. So we need to be listening to the home front command orders in order to protect their safety. But besides that, it should be a clear holiday.
Okay. We've heard a lot about the miracle, which is the Iron Dome, and its effectiveness and efficacy. Does Israel have enough of an Iron Dome presence to protect wherever Hamas's missiles might be able to reach?
Look, it's a miracle, that's true, but it's also a lot of work of efforts between the American administrations and Israel. Technology is fantastic, and this is a game changer. We are talking about thousands of rockets shot at Israel, and approximately 19 to 95% of them are taken down in the air by the Iron Dome, which is really a game changer. If not, we would have seen hundreds and hundreds of casualties in Israeli streets. And this allows us, the diplomatic front, on the military front, more time to achieve our strategic goals. And as for the capacity we have, 95% is great, of course, but there's always the few percentage that cannot be stopped. And I hope that the technology will be even better and improve in the next year, in the next few years, but it's still phenomenal numbers.
Okay. Now, with everything else that's happening now, there's always been it's overshadowed and flavored by the COVID pandemic. So when sirens go off, people are supposed to go into bomb shelters, but people have been told don't go near other people because you could get COVID. So how are the two working together then, Daniel Anshar?
Look, we just came out, Israel came out miraculously throughout the use of the vaccination project, which was really, it's an example for the world. And we came mostly out of COVID. So we're really in the end, we have very, very low numbers of people with COVID these days. It has been very, very successful. Of course, there's still some measures that are taken. And nevertheless, before the operation, they were already easing many, many of the COVID restrictions because of the fantastic numbers. So this is less of a concern these days. I'm very happy that that's the way it is, and I hope it's going to remain like this. There will be no variants or anything else. Like we hear the good news here in the United States recently about the easing some of the restrictions based on the success of the vaccination program here as well.
Okay. Now, so what about Israel is just starting to open up tourism now that the COVID epidemic seems to be under control. Birthright was supposed to start at the end of the month, and Birthright trips are planned, and they're encouraging people to come. And now suddenly American Airlines are not flying, but LL announced that we will still continue to fly. Let me just qualify the question. Back during Desert Storm 1991, when the Iraqis were shooting Scuds at Israel, so the Lubavitch Rebbe said that Eretz Yisrael is Eine Hashem Elokecho Ba Mereshit Hashanat Achrito, that this is the safest place to be in the world is Israel. And so what do you, as a member of the Israeli Diplomatic Corps, say to our listeners to encourage them that if they had plans of going to Israel, to keep those plans, and if they didn't have plans of going to visit Israel, that we should show some kind of support and solidarity with our brethren in Israel to actually pick themselves up and go to Israel?
So I can understand the concern. We have to be honest here. If people, when we are seeing these times of war, so Israelis are most of them sitting at home. So definitely It's not as scary as we see on television many of the things, but we are in the midst of an operation, and there are rockets shoot at Israeli towns. And to say this is the ideal time for vacation on the beach now in Tel Aviv or going to the Western Wall, I would not say so. Nevertheless, I would also say that there's never a better time to go to Israel. There's always a good time to come to Israel. But saying that, we are talking about a temporary situation, and if we're looking at the overall experience, there is no better place to tour than Israel. Whether it's in routine post-COVID days, the situation, it's fantastic weather. I just came back from 2 weeks vacation there. It's amazing atmosphere in Israel. And we are feeling people are coming out of a year of pandemic and with all the will to continue, the great restaurants, great music, great culture. Everything is there, and your support is what warms our heart. So we look forward to seeing all of you. And I also saw on also today a report, the flights have not been canceled. They're just some of them have been delayed or pushed one day forward, but the lines have not been canceled. So the flights remain open, and Ben-Gurion Airport is awaiting you, and Israel is awaiting you.
Okay, wonderful. One last question. You have many relatives in Israel. What is their, how's their psyche? How are they feeling? What's going on in their minds?
Well, it's hard. It's hard. It's, and people do not talk enough about the mental aspects of it and the trauma the children have. I mean, the people of southern Israel have been living with this reality for many, many years already. And children going to shelter, going to bomb shelters, hearing sirens in the middle of the night. You do drills in school for real things that's happening, not a theoretical thing. My family who's living in Tel Aviv, my sister, my nieces, my nephews, her husband, they went to shelter in the middle of the night last week, this whole week. My parents in Jerusalem needed to go to the hallway. They don't have a security room. They needed to go downstairs and to find shelter. I mean, my friends are all over doing that. I'm speaking to them every day. It's very concerning, very concerning.
Okay, indeed. So I want to, I guess, end off on a good note. We have Shavuot coming up. It is Zman Matan Torah Tenu, the time when we got the Torah, maybe the most important holiday that there is, because if it wouldn't be for Shavuot, we wouldn't have any other holiday. And so we want to wish you a good Yontif and Mekabelis HaTorah B'Simcha B'Pnimiut. And next time we'll call for something very good.
Thank you, amen, and for peaceful days, and Chag Sameach, Shabbat Shalom, to you and the listeners. Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, take care. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hey, Shul Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Our hearts go out to our brethren in Israel, and we hope that this situation comes to a quick ending with as little as loss of life and limb and property and psyche, etc. as possible. We have up, for your listening pleasure, this is David Perlman. The song is called Ach Shali, My Brother.
Check this out. Takshiv chaver sheli, ani ha'ach shelcha, anu biyachad, biyachad mishpacha, anachnu levechad, af pam lo levad, echad ve'od echad, masik dayad. Just take my hand, together we'll get through, 'cause I know that you're
different tastes. Football's more your thing. I'll stick to singing. But through the ups and downs, our friendship is renowned. We act as we know, be not. I'm lechavero. Take my hand. Together we will get through. Cause I know that you're there for me. And I'm always there for you. The ups are the
assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, this is Moshe Storch. It's been a long time since we played anything from Moshe Storch. And the song's called Take Us Home.
Shamati Et filatecha, ra'iti et imahatecha, heneni rofela, rofela, v'techezena, einenu. Zion berachami oh oy berachami ay 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 tibiray ayam tibiray ayam take us out ay 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 tibiray ayam tibiray ayam take us out. Ay, 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 take us home. Ay, 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 take us home. Shamati et filatecha. Imahatecha Hineni Rofela Rofet Vitechezena Hineinu O Beshufa
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week in the synagogue, well, if you're listening to this on Sunday, so tonight is the holiday of Shavuos. And if you're listening to this after the holiday, which is Monday and Tuesday, then the portion we'll be reading in the synagogue is the portion of Nusa, which can be found in the book of Numbers. Now, we've talked before, and we talked lots of times, that of a direct connection. And we see there's a connection, that this connection continues. It's a just as the storyline of the book of Numbers is a continuum from last week's portion to this week's portion, so too also the lesson learned from one to the other is learned, is also apparent. It was mandated by Ezra 2,500 years ago, Ezra the scribe, leader of the Jewish people, who rebuilt the Second Temple, that the portion of Numbers be read prior to the holiday of Shavuos. The idea being that in Numbers, you have a bunch, in the portion of Numbers, the beginning of Bamidbar, you have a bunch of censuses, counting of the Jewish people in various sundry different ways. The reason for the juxtaposition or the inclusion of the holiday in the week of the book of when we're reading the portion of Numbers is because what's counted are things that are important to you. You don't count how much trash you have. You count how much money you have in your wallet, unless you're superstitious, but you don't count things that you throw away. The idea behind this is that in preparation for the giving of the Torah, we have to understand that we as the Jewish people have this importance. What is the significance of it? There's a rule that says that something which is counted never gets lost. If a person has 1,000 kosher chickens and one chicken gets mixed into it that's not kosher, all 1,001 chickens are not kosher because you have 1,001 chickens. It's countable. So the Jews, even though they may get mixed in, never really assimilate into whatever culture that they happen to find themselves, and therefore have to have a very positive effect on the world, which is what is seen by the giving of the Torah. Because with the giving of the Torah, the world is now has now become a vehicle for conveying godliness. When God came down on the mountain, God brought spirituality into the realm of the physical. And when Moses went up the mountain, so Moses made the physical world a proper vehicle, a proper vessel for containing this godliness that's coming into the world. Now, what happens in the portion of Nasai? Happens to be the longest portion of the week, just in single portions. And most of that is because of the dedication sacrifices that were brought at the, which are mentioned at the end of the portion. The idea of Nasai, the word which is used over there for counting, like Nasa es Rosh b'nei Gershon, to count the children of Gershon, Levi's, the clan from the tribe of Levi, is the idea of uplifting. Because what happens when we engage in physical activity with the purpose of bringing it and using it as a vehicle for spirituality. Then it says, Nasayas Rosh, lift up the heads is literally the translation. Then we become an uplifted people. We're searching, we're hoping that the world will become uplifted. Let's look at some other things very quickly in the portion that's mentioned. Is you have the concept of a person who wants to become a Nazirite, which means that he refrains from grape products of any kind, cutting his hair, and coming in contact with a dead body. And people would take a vow of being a Nazir in order to achieve a level of holiness. And immediately juxtaposed to the laws of the Nazir is the story, the procedure of a woman who is suspect of adultery and how to rectify that situation. With the giving of the Torah, the Jewish people were, again, put on a higher level. And the second day, or 4 days before the giving of the Torah, it was proclaimed that the Jews are a nation of priests and God's holy nation. And with the giving of the Torah, we became the bride of the Almighty. And when a person engages in activity which is contrary to the dictums of the Torah, then they become like a sota. They become like a person, like a wife who is suspect of adultery. Now, it doesn't mean just because she's suspect that she actually did. Because the rule says if we know for sure that she actually did, then she doesn't have to go through the suspect. It's been proven already. There's other things that have to happen to her then. But with these two portions and the holiday of Shavuos, we want to maintain our focus. We want to be above and beyond. We want to be in an uplifted state. And the holiday of Shavuos just didn't end because it was only just one day. But like with everything else, we use it as a building block to achieve a higher and greater level. The ultimate being the coming of the Messiah should be speedily in our days. Speaking of speedily, we have to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. Don't go away. We've got a wonderful story, amazing story. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com, www.rabbifinman.com. And right on the homepage, we have a way for you to contact me. You can send me in any type of email you would like. Just keep it clean, please. And I'll answer it. We also have on rabbifinman.com, archived editions of the show. We've got this wonderful new player that my podcast master actually put up on the website. It's the latest technology, works with smartphones like you wouldn't believe. It's actually what we would say in the business, amachaya, a real pleasure. And it has going back many, many years of shows. So if you'd like to hear, I don't know if the last time I had I didn't look to see if we had somebody from the Council General talking about the last incursion into Gaza and the ramifications thereof, but it might still be up there. You might be able to find it and compare notes. The question I asked then and the questions I asked then, some of them same questions that I remember, and the answers were probably the same too. But we can only hope for better things for what's happening in Gaza. There's also archived editions of the Colossus page, which is, you want to check that out. It's very good. It's not baby Colossus. This is like really deep Jewish thought on these Colossus pages. I put a lot of thought into them. A lot of work went into them, and it's many, many hours. It was a class that I taught publicly from 2009 till 2015. So it's 6 years worth of classes. Not exactly 300 hours per year, but pretty close to it. So that's maybe 1,500 hours of classes. But don't let that scare you. Just listen to one. And then when you get done with number one, go to number two. That's the way we do things, one step at a time. There's also the donations page. We're in May. And may I say that we need your help. The Jewish Hour only exists because of listener-supported help like yours. Every month we go through this, and I'll make the pledge. We're only halfway through. If we get what we need to pay for the month of May, I won't make a pledge. I'll tell a longer story, and then you'll be happier, and I'll be happier. So go to RabbiFinman.com, go to the Nations page, make a donation, and it takes 3 minutes. And if you have PayPal, it takes 30 seconds. And if you have PayPal, then you can make it a monthly donation, which is way cool, because that way it may be not too much of a strain on the budget. You could divide it up into monthly payments. Wonderful. We have many people who do that. Don't like internet giving? Understood. Send your donation to the Jewish Hour, which the Jewish Hour is part of a larger umbrella organization, which includes Jewish Ferndale and the E-Parsha and some other programs that are under this umbrella, the exegesis, I think that's the word, of the existence of this umbrella organization. It's 501(c) tax deductible. So send that donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. And we're in the process now with the new CDC guidelines of slowly reinstating programs at Jewish Ferndale. Stay tuned. Go to jewishferndale.com to find out what's doing over there. And follow us on Facebook at Jewish Ferndale on Facebook and Rabbi Finman on Facebook and rabbifinman.com. This story, initially this story happened in the year 1946. There's something called the Echelons, meaning that there was an agreement made after World War II between the Polish and the Russian government to allow anybody holding a Polish passport to return back to Poland. These are people who escaped or were refugees. They saw the ensuing Nazis, Umakshamum, were coming and crossed over into Russia. And Russia had the Iron Curtain. You couldn't leave Russia. But if you had a Polish passport, you could leave. So this then set up a whole entire black market for Polish passports. And there were thousands of Russian Jews who left Russia. Most of them moved to Israel. Some moved to New York and other places like this. But one of the persons who decided to pick himself up and leave was a person by the name of Pinchas Sudak. Pinchas Sudak ran a clandestine knitting factory, which means he made material, cloth and whatnot, and he was very well-to-do. And in addition to be very well-to-do, he was also very religious, and he raised his kids to be very religious. And when he saw the opportunity to leave Russia, he said, I'm doing this, I know my kids will be religious, but I'm not so sure about my grandchildren. So he decided that he wanted to leave and managed to sell his property. He had a lot of property, managed to sell it, converted it into diamonds, sewed it into his shoes, and was able to walk out of Russia and get on the trains. When he was in Prague, which was like the first stop to get to Poland, there was somebody there who was selling a Torah. And he thought, he was a group of 50 people, he thought, how could you have a group of people without a Torah scroll? And he bought this Torah from him. He had a box made for it, and he carried the box. Now, what happened is to get from point A to point B, from like train station something to other train station something, this delegation of 50 or so Jews had to walk at night. And it says through the forest. And just to keep up, and I think it's how they crossed the border into Poland, it was so dark that they were told, hold on to a rope so you don't get lost. And they were led across the border. So at some point, though, Mr. Pinchas' Sudak's wife, who was carrying their baby, who was like 3 years old, her name was Batya, got tired and says, I can't carry the kid anymore. So he was carrying the Torah. He said he realized that he was going to have to leave the Torah. So he put it underneath a bush, a thicket of bushes, and kissed it goodbye and said, no, for some reason, this has got to happen the way it happened. And they made it safely, and they moved to England. So let's jump up like about 40 years. And this Batya, who is now like 43 years old, is married to David Shochet, who is, they're still both alive. Pinchas Sudak passed away before, I don't know, in the 60s sometime. And he's a prominent rabbi in Toronto. And he was visiting a friend of hers, whose name was initially Fega Gurwitz, and she married Naftali Esselin, and they're rabbis in the West Coast. And she went to the West Coast, and she's visiting. And it just so happened that this Fega Esselin was telling the story that when they were crossing over in a different echelon sometime later, not too much later, her father lost track of her big sister. And they were like, they should let go of the rope. It was like 5-year-old. She let go of the rope. Oh, no. And it was, they were crawling around finding her. And when he finally found her, she was sitting next to a box. And what was in the box was a Torah. And he couldn't believe it. Her father, Tzemach Gurwitz, could not believe that there was a Torah just sitting here. What did he do? Very smart person. He took the Torah. He took off his coat. He took off his shirt. And he took the Torah, which is made out of sheepskin, and wrapped it around and around and around himself. And then tied it with his belt. And then put his coat back on over it. And that's how he managed to smuggle this Torah over the border. And Fega Esselin said that Torah is now in a synagogue in Manhattan and has been there since 1964. So Batsheva Shochet, who was the three-year-old in this story, was so happy that the work of her father in getting this Torah out from behind the Iron Curtain came to a happy ending. That's going to do it for the show. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.
כי אפשר לאדם בעולם הזה להיות כמלאך לרגעים, להיות כמלאך לרגעים וליהנות מזיו הקודש, ליהנות מזיו הקודש.